Good morning. Today is Monday, November the 9th. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County's Superintendent of Schools, Mr. Chris Hartley.
Good morning, sir.
Hi.
How are we doing this chilly morning?
I don't know anymore.
You're still figuring it out.
What is it? Life? Life is...
Box of chocolates?
No.
Okay. Not darn it, I thought I was on top of
it. No, it was... Life is what happens when you're planning on something else. I mean, there's some words to that effect.
There you go.
It's like the last... I know what it's like to be inside the blender now, instead of just on the outside hitting it, you know, for the milkshake. Chocolate milkshake.
Chocolate.
I mean, you know, and Sean Connery dies in the middle of all this stuff. What? Mm-hmm.
Alex Trebek?
Yeah, but he was on... we knew about him.
That's true.
Right? I mean, he'd been talking about it for some time, and he was... kind of showing the ravages of the disease.
Hanging in there, though.
But not Bond.
James Bond.
No. But I had a weird thought. I was thinking, what would it be like to be his son?
Sean Connery's son.
Son, right. I mean,
that's an interesting thing to think about.
Talk about,
right?
a shadow to have to try to follow, right? I mean, everybody thinks you're James Bond's son. Not... you know, the guy in Raiders from the Lost Ark. The professor. I mean, nobody's thinking about that, right? That's true. Role.
It's Sean Connery, for crying out loud.
Yeah, exactly.
I wonder if his son has an accent.
I wonder if he drives fancy cars.
I'm sure he does. Maybe he has both.
Yeah. Wow. What do you got there, Winston?
He's got to have the Austin Martin. I mean, that's just mandatory.
It's a no-brainer.
Yeah. How did a special card or suit of cards come to be called a Trump card?
Oh. A Trump card.
And this has nothing to do with last week or anything. It's just okay. The next one in the book.
A Trump card.
Oh, man. Well, this is definitely in honor of Alex Trebek. This is a tough one.
I wonder. I'm thinking that Trump would be a verb rather than a noun.
You've trumped somebody.
Yeah. Cover, maybe?
So it's the cover card. It's the
the last one on.
Winston, help us out, for crying out loud.
I'm sorry. That has to be in the form of a question. The word Trump is a corruption of triumph. A trump is a card which can triumph or win over other cards in the game by virtue of its special powers.
There we go.
Not really. I can't.
There's no way I'd ever gotten
couldn't
that.
Couldn't argue
a million
that
years.
One, no.
Trump, triumph. Okay, it's connected. I got it.
So you drive a Trump car.
A Triumph car. You probably inherited a few Triumph cars.
Yeah. Oh, geez. So what weirdness is coming out of Sacramento, coming your way?
Well, you know, it's been pretty quiet in Sacramento. They're not in session right now, right? So they'll go back in, where they go back, January, February. And then, so right now it's a lot of actually good work with our legislators here. I've been working with Senator McGuire quite a bit. Met with Assemblyman Wood last week, just talking about North Coast needs. And so that's kind of what happens in
much?
Between legislative sessions. Well, we're working a lot on the technology access piece. So, no, that hasn't changed. That's obviously been a need for a long time. But, you know, equitable access, just having – I mean, you're familiar with all the broadband and the work that we're trying to do with fiber. And now we're looking into we're actually working with a company, Viasat, who does satellite connectivity for some of our most remote areas.
Is that really pricey?
It can be, and that's why we're working. We're trying to come up with an option that's more affordable. And, we've had a couple good meetings so far, but just trying to think about the problem in maybe slightly different ways and how they could deliver their service and how can we maybe get some support at Sacramento level to subsidize some of those costs.
I wonder how some of the rural areas, let's say Wyoming. Okay, I mean, there's lots of places that have...
It's a good example.
Low density and mountains and trees and how they do it.
That's a good question. I would imagine they face the same challenges that we do.
But they're more statewide, maybe there's state recognition of it, or...
Could be, or they just have the same issues. You know, that's a great one to pull on a little bit. It's just the valleys and the way our geography appears, it's complicated. You could be rural in the desert, and that's probably got its own set of challenges.
Probably more water related.
Why would you be there?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Do you find when you come up against some of those types of questions that there's always somebody in the neighborhood that's already dealt with it? Or are you out in front taking the arrows on a lot of these things?
It's a mix. You know, it really is a mix. With regards to this particular situation on the satellite piece, there's a lot of people pulling on how to increase access to technology, you know, and in Humboldt County particularly. And, you know, the work that's been around the, more access to fiber. Some of the things, too, it's the issue of who owns what, right? So that, for me, those are the things that are super frustrating. When you know there's high-speed internet going by a place, but you can't access it because it's owned by company X or Z, and they don't have an agreement to share it, that's the stuff that is a head-scratcher versus getting the fiber there. That's a whole different challenge.
Yeah, it's so almost we have like some two, places two where different levels.
Yeah, we have some places where it's just not around, and you have other places where I've used that analogy, you know, you're dying of thirst and a river's flowing by, but you can't get to it.
Yeah, but you it's got a 200-foot bluff between you and the river.
Yeah, you know, with maybe a really nice road down that bluff, but you can't get on it. It's we have those challenges here, too. So looking at, looking into the satellite component, it's another option for us. And we're trying to take care of long-term issues, systemic issues for the kind of the short term, because it's urgent.
Well, and that's what if the news reports from this morning are there, if Pfizer did find
a
real deal.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's take the virus out. Does that change any of the concerns or the discussions? Urgency perhaps has changed.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big question, right? How valid is the findings? What does that look like? What's the accessibility? I mean, so then you got to look at kind of plan backwards from if there was...
Let's say it's legit and...
Then you got to start planning backwards, right? When will it be available?
Okay, and it's taken care of, let's say, by February.
Right, then we start working on it.
So we're four months of where we are now. Do you still keep chasing the fiber optics?
Oh, of course. I think so, because it's good for the economy. You know, for Humboldt County just in general.
Well, and for the kids.
Absolutely, yeah.
Don't forget the kids.
Yeah, keep chasing the fiber optics. That's the answer.
It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time is 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Chris Hartley. Hooray for the breaks. It gives me a sanity break.
There you go.
Yeah,
you can't. And we always cover some good material.
Yeah. Yeah. Not cover up. Just cover. Just cover. Oh, what do you see any significant things in the next 3 or 4 weeks, Chris? Or is this just kind of an evolution to whenever, I guess, a Christmas break, if there is such a thing, happens?
Well, I mean, yeah, every day is, you know, what the schools are working on is significant as far as just handling the day-to-day grind of the nature of the work right now. You know, it's difficult. So that's certainly significant. I think communication is critical, you know, during this time that schools are continuing and that we're all continuing to communicate.
Getting better at it? Or is
so we've been communicating in, I guess you could say, crisis mode, just like a lot of agencies have been, you know, since the spring, right? And so having good, consistent messaging around what's happening within any one school, what are the current accommodations.
How much detail will you get? Let's say I'm parented at medium-sized elementary school, Humboldt County, USA.
Yeah.
Weekly, monthly, couple times a week, couple times a month. I mean, how often is somebody knocking out an update to let everybody know what's going on?
It depends on your situation and how much change there's been. There's no sense over communicating because people stop listening, right? So it's the traditional, like right now we have systems, they've been in place for a long time where you can do an all call where I could call all my parents in my school. It goes to their voicemail. They hear my message. If I'm doing that every week saying, hey, we got an assembly on Friday, we got another assembly, people are going to just not listen to it, right? So if the information is new, then you up your frequency. So when you look at when we went into this in the spring.
How granular do you get?
Well, I mean,
again, we got the contractors coming in to paint the windows this week.
Not a good idea. That would not be a good communication.
But
the bus schedule has changed. And you know, here's the new schedule. That's kind of important for people. Or, you know, here's how you're going to get X, Y, or Z because it's new and it's important to you. I think that is the type of stuff you're messaging, what it is you're including, determines the frequency. So if you have a lot of change or a lot of we've been in a situation, right? This was super fluid at the beginning. We were not sure what was happening
at this point, isn't it?
We're getting into more of a routine. So yeah. The communication frequency is a little bit less unless there's something new. But what we found too is it's important to still communicate and listen and allow communication to flow the other direction. It really helps with anxiousness. It helps keep the level of urgency.
Are you getting a lot of emails?
Not as many as I was, yeah, for sure. You know, for a while. Personally, we're getting emails all the time. It's crazy. But as far as, like, emails around these type of issues, it's decreased quite a bit.
Well, yeah, not the normal stuff.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Just the extraordinary stuff.
Yeah, but absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, and so creating things like your website, you know, use social media in ways that are appropriate and that get the message out there, all those things have been really important. And it gives a level of responsiveness, you know, and that, again, the responsiveness piece goes both directions, right? So you want to hear what the concerns are so that you know what to communicate, not just guess. Like, they probably want to know this when, in fact, they really don't.
But that's incumbent on them to ask also, right? Or are you making phone call-outs?
Well, I mean, that's a great point. So schools from the outset have been doing a lot of surveying, I'm going to guess a lot of folks are kind of burned out on
the
frequencies of surveys. No, not the survey monkey. But the survey to parents of what is your desire for your school's program right now? Are you interested in coming back to in-person instruction?
Okay,
would you rather have distance learning?
Situational stuff.
Yeah, that is not very normal. We don't generally send out surveys asking parents for their opinion on a response to the pandemic.
No,
right?
Not to the pandemic, but response to various calendar items and things at the school.
Because that was so important for everybody to figure out what kind of programs school boards are going to ultimately make a decision on offering. We want to know what are they interested in? What's their comfort level? Very complicated. And as you can imagine, the split was not heavily one side or the other in some places, you know, 50-50 in others. And then it's shifting depending on the district that you're in. So gathering information like that to be able to do your planning has been really important just to understand where your community is at.
Yeah, well, and to figure out if it's time to flip the switch or
absolutely
do whatever, yeah.
You know, and I think the other thing that our districts have done a good job is just being genuine and transparent. And you often, the answers aren't most popular, but you got to be upfront, right? And just here's the real situation. This is what we're really dealing with. And our schools in Humboldt County have done a nice job, you know, communicating in that vein and just being accurate and transparent.
Haven't heard a lot of blow-ups.
Not too many.
Haven't heard of a lot of blow-ups.
Not too many. You know, it comes down to each different community and kind of what type of programs parents are really yearning for. And obviously, you know, we want to get back to in-person instruction.
Gym class.
You know,
let them burn off the energy.
I'm telling you, yeah, absolutely. You know, just getting back to that type of routine and, you know, is really on everybody's minds for sure.
This is normally a planning cycle period, too.
It very much is.
But that's kind of been going on weekly, hasn't it?
Definitely weekly, yes. You know, so we used to have our superintendent and leader meeting at the county office where I would host everybody four times a year. Brian, we've been meeting virtually weekly, Wednesdays afternoons. We've scaled it back to every other week.
Virtually weekly or meeting virtually?
Well, there was a...
It takes on a different connotation, doesn't it?
There was no pun intended, but it has been virtual and it has been weekly.
Ah, there you go. It's virtually 8:30.
name is Keith Lund. I am an electrician for Owsley Electric. You can go into a trade, be 18, become a trainee. They do require some education. You have 120 hours of classroom education, plus you have to work 2,000 hours a year. So after 4 years, then you can go out and work for another company, getting your own certificate, become your own boss. There's quite a few options you can do.
Own your future and learn more about the Trades Academy at hcoe.org.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Chris Hartley. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite Pest Control, Bayward Golf and Country Club, and Murphy's Markets. Chris, as you look into that crystal ball, you know, we hear that houses are selling. We were hearing that people are moving to the area. We're hearing an awful lot. Are you seeing any indication that enrollment numbers might be ticking up next fall?
No, I haven't. We haven't seen it. Just no. How's that? No, I haven't. We haven't seen a bump of enrollment that we can put our finger on at this point.
Would you? I mean, with the virtual stuff, okay, if I'm going
into Humboldt County. So
let's say I'm going to school in Santa Rosa, and it's a virtual school. I pick Cardinal Newman just because.
Right.
Okay. Now I'm up here. I'm still virtual learning, and I can still stay with the same school that I was with before.
I'm not sure if we're getting an influx of people if they have school-aged children or not. The question
they may be empty
nesters. I think so. You know, I haven't seen a bump up, or I haven't heard of schools like, geez, we're getting slammed with new enrollment. I think we have movement within the county, which is not unusual. But our population, I think in the fall, I'm hopeful it stays flat, and obviously with an uptick would be great. I'd hate to lose students. That's always our concern.
Well, where would you go?
Well, I mean, people are relocating, to other states too. You know,
out of state. Yeah.
I know several folks that have left recently, and they headed to different states for employment, better cost of living. You know, could live with Aunt Maud or whatever. You know, people are leaving just as much as perhaps are coming in. But I haven't heard of a bump up of new families coming to the area, but this is the beginning. Hard to say that the early beginnings of registration for, I mean, we're talking next fall, right? You're talking 2021. So people are starting to make those decisions here in December, January, of registering for school and starting to plan for that. So we'll know more solid information soon.
Well, and I would think college.
Yep.
Whatever that form might take.
Whatever that
knows.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't know what the Humboldt State's numbers are looking like or CRs. It'll be interesting to see what the next couple months bring. But you've heard that there's been more people moving to Humboldt County?
Huge pressures on real estate, pushing it up and up and
okay.
up and up. And I would think that one of the figures you would be inclined to monitor are housing starts within the county. How many permits were taken out?
That's not a piece of data that we've pulled on a lot, but that's a great idea.
I've hit my quota now for the year. That's two good ideas. Wyoming and housing starts.
And it only all that in one show.
It just sometimes
a treasure trove.
Yeah.
We should call it.
Yeah, right. Open up the chest and see what's hiding in there. Oh. Some of the different challenges are I guess intriguing, the anticipated as well as the unanticipated. With a ton of school bonds, school board members, and things of that nature, have you gotten any feedback on any of those?
Well, we just, with the local elections wrapping up, and there'll be a change of leadership in several districts, as we all have seen. I think the tenor's been pretty calm. I think the whole...
of course, with 22% still out uncounted,
I know.
Who knows?
Yeah, we're kind of excited to see what the final results are going to be on all that. But some of them have trended pretty clearly where the mark's going to land. The first thing is that districts will be working with their new board members on building a governance team, talking about what the role of the board member is. So things that HCOE does is we'll be working with California State Boards Association to put together trainings. So that's kind of like the first step for districts and their new board members is to train, understand the role. There's multifaceted
components. It's not a Zoom meeting, is it?
Oh my gosh, it probably
is going to be. Can you imagine
the
sheer boredom of that?
Bored?
You got jargon?
You just said boredom.
I know.
Okay. Yeah. Just checking. You would have called me on that, so.
Yeah. But the jargon that's involved, not knowing, you know, not being able to see anybody else that's around you, and, you know, all the.
Hey, this has been our world first since March. You know, we've been Zooming quite a bit, and it isn't the most exciting
thing.
I might not have had any
exemption or concerns about taking pre-trig or whatever it was, pre-calc and trigonal that way.
That would have worked for
you. Gee, sorry, just no internet connectivity. Sorry. I mean, some of that. You need that social interaction because one question will spur another question.
Oh, for sure. The whole Socratic dialogue, the active debating and kicking around topics.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're sitting there munching on your sandwiches, you're trying to go through. It just doesn't have quite the same attention.
Well, you lose that socialized piece of it for sure. And that discussion action is you know, a big part of any curriculum and any learning.
Are school boards meeting virtually?
Yep. Virtually, yes. Yep, I'm not aware of any boards here locally yet that have worked on in-person meetings. The kind of the rule of thumb from public health at this point has been if you're able to have a virtual meeting, you should hold off of having an in-person meeting still at this point. And so we'll look for them for direction on when and how and what the format would look like if we're going to start going back to in-person meetings.
Hey, that's a radio word.
In-person meetings?
No, format.
Format. Hey, another one.
Now we're even in this segment.
Oh, we're digressing fast today, Brian. I don't know.
That implies that we were up high to start with.
Well, of course we were.
I think we're subterranean at this point. I don't know.
Oh, I always appreciate it, though.
Yeah. Hey, you got some issues with your fence. I heard Miles was in Friday and was talking about Cooper's Gulch and doing some trail tie-ins and things like that. And he said,
it's constant.
Below the old Franklin School. And I'm thinking, wait a minute.
That's us.
Okay, you're having a tough time now keeping the fence intact.
It's constant.
Et cetera, et cetera. Now we're going to have the trail go through there also.
Well, anything interesting. The trail system would be great, to be honest with you, because we could get the foliage out of there and make it more accessible. And, you know, if you have people using it for the right reasons, you know, that'll help a ton. But, yeah, we're constantly fixing holes in that darn fence. It's a massive thoroughfare for folks that we'd rather not have moving around our facility. And so, yeah, it's an issue for sure. And it's nice to hear that other folks have realized that as well. And I'd love to see us work with the city on that Cooper Gulch project and put some trails, some nature trails back in there and really just eliminate all that dense foliage that you can't see. You know, it's
maybe
they
have a skywalk through the eucalyptus trees.
A skywalk. A rope
swing. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:43.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 47 minutes after 8 o'clock.
You're slipping. We're almost done. Hang in there.
That's right. Avoid the banana peel and keep moving. So Thanksgiving, Veterans Day is Wednesday. Are the schools doing anything special for Veterans Day?
Well, I'm sure that there'll be, you know, curricular pieces, you know, brought in. I know as a history teacher, I always made sure I focused on, you know, Veterans Day and the whole history of World War One, and so schools will be doing that. But it's a day off, so, you know, that'll be a vacation. So we got a day in the middle of the week. Wednesday will be off for most all.
I mean, if nothing else, that probably means that it's being respected as a day rather than as a 3-day event.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So that's happening. And then, we have a week, and then we're right into Thanksgiving week. And then we're into the holiday season.
So you guys take all week off, don't you?
It depends on the district. Most districts up here do have that week off. Yeah. That changed. It kind of shifted.
Probably decades ago, huh?
Well, there was that. That week became a week off, right? And then what was the other one? President's Week became a week off. for a lot of districts in the state. That was only about, when did that trend start? Maybe 10 years ago? Before that, President's Week was generally not a week off.
You had Washington's birthday and Lincoln's birthday.
That's right. That's right. But that was, an important...
Decades ago, yeah.
Decades ago. So that's what's going on there. And, you know, that's a part of the planning, too, for schools. They are thinking about the impacts of families traveling. How does that impact the COVID rates?
Yeah, not in California.
They don't travel in California?
No, you can only have 3 independent households gathering for Thanksgiving. Well, and then you have to be outside.
Those 3 might be in San Diego. Maybe you're joining them down there.
Okay, so it's a little warmer when you're outside.
Are you going to keep yours to 3?
Yeah.
Of course.
Well, you think I'm not a law-abiding citizen of
California? No, I just was wondering. I was like, if you had some kind of crazy plan.
Do you think I'd share anyway?
Well, I thought I'd try. Winston isn't saying anything either.
I may be slow this morning, but I'm not that slow, baby. Gee.
Oh, no.
No.
Yeah, so no, districts are, you know, looking at those dynamics of how vacation will even impact some of the instruction right now, and and staff traveling as well. Of course, no more.
But I guess it's
3.
Funny though, with the virtual, doesn't matter.
You can take your classes if you have internet access.
Yeah, I mean, so if
so
you
that's
have
been
the
helpful in that regard.
If you have the beach behind you, or if you have the forest behind you. Who cares?
Well, you can put your own background behind you.
Yeah, I haven't figured that one out yet.
It's not hard.
I'll
show you.
I'd probably get in trouble.
I'm pretty good at that now. I'll give you a lesson.
I don't want the Hartley family residence behind me. It's not going to benefit.
Yeah, trust me. You'll like the background, as long as I pick it.
Yeah. Yeah, wink, wink, nod, nod. Trust me. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Well, thank you. Have a great Thanksgiving.
You are doing turkey and not ham.
We're going with a German meal this year. We're going straight German.
Which one?
I'm going to...
Sauerbraten?
We'll have Sauerbraten. I'll have Schnitzel. We're probably going to do Rouladen.
Oh, baby.
Yeah, we're going to go all in.
I'll
make my famous Spätzle.
I'll bring some Stollen over for you.
Yeah, there you go. Thank
you. All righty. See everybody tomorrow.
Take care.